2%. According to new data on global military spending published recently by the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, SIPRI, the United States remains by far the world's biggest military spender. U.S. military spending reached $877 billion in 2022, which was 39% of total global military spending and three times more than the amount spent by China. The 0.7% real terms increase in U.S. spending in 2022 would have been even greater had it not been for the highest levels of inflation since 1981. Dr. Nan Tian, SIPRI senior researcher, said the increase in U.S.'s military spending in 2022 was largely accounted for by the unprecedented level of financial military aid it provided to Ukraine, adding, given the scale of U.S. spending, even a minor increase in percentage terms has a significant impact on the level of global military expenditure. Meanwhile, the Politico magazine reports, over the past 2 years, when Democrats fully controlled Congress, lawmakers twice pushed President Joe Biden to approve more military spending than he had requested. This year, Biden's Defense Department budget request is even higher than last year's final figure. Biden has overseen ballooning Pentagon funding while pledging to shift America's resources away from costly foreign wars. In an echo of his predecessor Trump, many progressives and some conservatives say the president and Congress should finally translate their rhetoric into change. On Thursday, April 27th, Representatives Barbara Lee and Andy Biggs introduced a bill to probe the Pentagon and launch automatic cuts at Defense Department offices that do not receive audits to ferret out suspected waste. U.S. financial military aid to Ukraine totaled $19.9 billion in 2022, although this was the largest amount of military aid given by any country to a single beneficiary in any year since the Cold War, it represented only 2.3% of total U.S. military spending. In 2022, the USA allocated $295 billion to military operations and maintenance, $264 billion to procurement and research and development, and $167 billion to military personnel. Military industrialists and gun manufacturers dominate the U.S. political scene, where any effort to hold them responsible for rampant gun violence is curbed. Moreover, the Huffington Post Daily writes mass shootings are commonplace in the U.S. According to the Gun Violence Archive, there have been 146 so far in 2023, the most at this point in the year since 2016. The nonprofit group defines a mass shooting as four or more shots are killed, not including the shooter. According to data published recently by KFF, a nonprofit research organization formerly known as Kaiser Family Foundation, one in five American adults report having been personally threatened with a firearm. U.S. Democrats and gun safety activists have argued that passing stricter laws would reduce the violence, whereas Republicans and gun rights advocates argue that arming teachers would act as a deterrent. The United States, a country of around 330 million people, is awash with some 400 million guns. Efforts to ban assault rifles have faced opposition from Republicans who are staunch supporters of the constitutional right to bear arms. A Gallup poll from October 2022 showed the majority of Americans are in favor of gun control, with a 57% majority of all Americans saying they want stricter laws covering the sale of firearms. According to a nonprofit research group, more than 12,800 people in the U.S. have died from gun violence so far this year, which means an average of over 114 deaths per day. The latest report by Gun Violence Archive indicates 7,326 people have committed suicide using firearms, and 5,505 others have died in homicides, murders, accidental discharges, and defensive gun use. According to the tracker, as for minors, 79 children aged up to 11 and 456 aged 12 to 17 died in those incidents. The report also says there have been 168 mass shootings so far this year, and that the number of mass shootings have gone up significantly in recent years. In each of the last 3 years, there have been more than 600 mass shootings, almost two a day on average.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program, Viewpoint, the Movie Critique Program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my dear brothers, Sayyid Abdullah and brother Yasser, are helping me criticize the movie Transcendence, produced in 2014, directed by Wally Pfister, starring major actresses and actors such as Johnny Depp, Rebecca Hall, Paul Bettany, Morgan Freeman, Kate Mara, and the like. Salaamu Alaikum, Sayyid Abdullah. Welcome to the program again.
Wa Alaikum Assalam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. And thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Yasser, Salaamu Alaikum. Welcome to the studio.
Alaikum Assalam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. Again, always a pleasure to be with you, brother.
No, thank you very much for both of you to join us. helping me, you know, contribute to the critique of the movie Transcendence. Let's take a listen to a short part of this movie directed by Wally Pfister, and then we'll be back criticizing it. Don't go away.
The path to building such a superintelligence requires us to unlock the most fundamental secrets of the universe. What is the nature of consciousness?
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio. We are criticizing the movie Transcendence, directed by Wally Pfister, produced in 2014. At the end of the previous episode, we talked about, you know, consciousness, but we left it off, sort of, you know, and because of the shortage of time. Brother Yasser, let me start with you this time. What do you think is the nature of consciousness? And as you rightly mentioned in the earlier episode that we tried to criticize this movie, this question gets repeated several times throughout the movie. So what is consciousness? Sayyid Abdullah, to the best of my memory, I think he was taking consciousness for ruh, right? And he referred to that verse in the Holy Quran, you know, that God says to the Holy Prophet that if they ask you about the ruh, tell them, well, you don't know.
It's one of my affairs.
Yeah, this is something that none of your business, basically. So what do you think is consciousness?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To an extent, the verse in the Noble Quran is speaking about a reality that is a lot higher than the ruh we have. And for example, when we actually look at the Islamic world and the Islamic sciences, it was only within this 5th century to the 6th century Hijri where this question actually got answered. But what do we mean by consciousness? During the time of Ibn Sina, who spent and gave a beautiful explanation of what the ruh is, what the faculties of the ruh are, and so on and so on. But that is not to say that he understood it in its entirety. He gave the understanding which is accepted.
Right.
But it does not mean that he knew, as the verse is saying, that yes, this is part of it, but this is not it. Again, there's a whole discussion of why that is and goes into the realm of Irfan, which we don't want to get into. But when it comes to consciousness, the simple thing, that the proof that Ibn Sina would give is what? Is the concept of the hangman argument. Hangman argument is what? Hangman argument is Ibn Sina. And many philosophers, not only him, Western philosophers, and before him also mentioned, but he was one who kind of came with this argument, is that if I was in a room and I had all my material senses cut, would I still feel myself? The concept, yes, you would. You still have a feeling of who you are. The I factor is there.
Yeah.
This concept of I, the self, is one of the things I cannot deny. Wherever I go, I cannot deny. A person who denies himself cannot deny himself. It becomes paradoxical. Who are you to deny something? I am I to deny. So you're denying yourself.
Yeah.
So this, it becomes paradoxical. It becomes self-contradictory. Right. It's a self-contradictory argument. So consciousness in its nature is just that I am aware. I am aware of my surroundings. I am aware of my... The first thing, I am aware of myself. I am aware I am I. The concept of identity.
Right.
Which is one of the principles of philosophy. We have two, three principles that cannot be broken. It's the concept of identity. And I am I. I am conscious of I am I. One of the other things also is when I look throughout my life at different pictures, I am still I. When I was a baby till I am now, I am still I. That I... It's still there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not left me.
It's lingering.
It's always there.
Yeah.
I do not distinguish the I, me being 37 years old now, from the I that was 12 to the I that will be 64, inshallah.
Inshallah.
There's no difference in it. What's the difference in that I? There's no difference in it.
Right.
So that consciousness that...
Even though of our souls...
It's gone. Yeah. I've completely changed.
Yeah, exactly.
They say every 7 years they change,
every
right?
Every 5 to 7.
They change. So
yeah.
My, according to their understanding, I should not be I, which is why they've tried later on. This philosophy of mind has come to kind of answer this question, which they have failed to answer. That if I, material, even the cells of my brain change, right? The cell is something material, my brain cell change, the neurons change. That brain I had 10 years ago is not the same brain I have now. But why do I still have the same knowledge I had 10 years ago? Mm-hmm. Why do I still have the same memories I had 10 years ago? There must be something else that is there that is not...
More to the hippocampus.
Wherever it is.
They say hippocampus.
But even that has changed. Even that has changed.
Location responsible for memory.
Exactly. But even that has changed. Its material form has changed.
Yeah.
So the knowledge is not there because we understand matter cannot have knowledge. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole reason why matter cannot have knowledge.
Right.
This is something that is proved. It's not something that is thingy.
Okay, thank you.
This concept of consciousness. But again, it's a long discussion. But
yeah, I know. There are lots of challenges to this, like the Cartesian dualism, for example.
Exactly. But even then, for example, that same, if you want to put it, I doubt, therefore I am,
is
supposed to be the other way around. I am, therefore I doubt. If there isn't an I, who's doubting?
Yeah, exactly.
So even
lots
then,
of other philosophers.
But even there's an argument on what Descartes actually meant. But anyway.
Yeah, thank you very much. Let's take a short break by listening to another part of the movie, Transcendence, produced in 2014, directed by Wally Pfister. Stay with us.
Dr. Caster?
Yes, sir. You have a question.
So, you want to create a god, your own god?
That's a very good question. Isn't that what man has always done?
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, and my two brothers, and the guest speakers, Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah. We are criticizing the movie Transcendence, produced in 2014, directed by Wally Pfister. Sayyid Abdullah, I asked Brother Yasser about consciousness. Also, there is another part of this movie that I need to, draw your attention to. And that is, rather at the beginning of the movie, when Dr. Caster, Johnny Depp, is giving, a lecture to the audience, and you see the picture of Elon Musk in it too. Just one individual, one person in the audience asks Johnny Depp a question. I guess it's a valid question, right? That he says, do you want to create a god, your own god? And Johnny Depp replies, isn't that what man has always done? I think he's referring to the very point of humanism, which tries to put human being at the center of the universe, irregardless of God, whatever the heritage of mankind has always brought to our attention, which is the concept of God. Don't you think it's a valid question with regard to that?
A valid question in response to what? That man himself made himself God?
Sort of.
Okay, I don't know how to approach this without having to go on the
road. as you can see that now human beings have come up with lots of technological advancements, as AI, even now in its infancy.
So the idea was, based on that question, is that would you create something that will precede you in creation? Because if you look at AI today, I had a look at some programs of AI myself.
Mm-hmm.
They are, I can simply say, beyond comprehension. The way they think, the way they operate, and how quick they give you an answer is mind-boggling.
Right.
So if I would have to compare an AI system that is available today, and mind you, what we have online currently that people can test out is just a fraction, like a tiny, tiny sample of what actually behind the curtain that me and you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And with that small thing, it would give me an article of many pages in matters of seconds. And I was actually talking to one of them. There was one called OpenAI. You can try it out for yourself. It's mind-boggling. And so would there come a time where such a machine, if it's empowered, becomes superior to human beings? So he's saying to him, well, yeah, you're creating another god.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're happy with human beings being gods. We don't want any other god.
Mm-hmm.
Because we, all this time, we are being the creators. We don't need more creators or someone to be in charge of us or someone enslaving us. Because obviously,
the way that Hollywood looks at AI being the masters of Earth, and we're going to be the slave. We're going to be enslaved by our own tool. So this is basically what they're trying to get at, is that we're empowering something and taking that power from ourselves, which us being gods. Okay. So obviously it's a very atheistic ideology, to say the least.
Right.
But, you know, that's what's it's at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Who is to be God?
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a listen to a short part of the movie Transcendence, directed by Wally Pfister, produced in 2014, and then we'll be back.
Look, it's all built off of Casey's solution to the silver runner's problem. He did it 6 months ago.
He did what exactly?
Instead of creating an artificial intelligence, he duplicated an existing one.
Tell me you're joking.
He recorded the monkey's brain activity and uploaded its consciousness like a song or a movie. Will's body is dying, but his mind is a pattern of electrical signals that we can upload into Penn. He can...
not a monkey!
Back to the program Viewpoint. We are criticizing the movie Transcendence with Syed Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Brother Yasser, you know, again, in relation to the idea and the concept of consciousness, you know, in another part of this movie, Rebecca Hall, well, the doctor's wife, basically, Evelyn, wants to upload Johnny Depp's consciousness, Will's consciousness, into the supercomputer to save his mind, if not his body, right? Is that, do you think, possible, like, to first of all get online like this, like to transfer your consciousness with its entirety into a supercomputer, like a quantum computer, whatever, you know? I'm reminded of this fact that man has always tried to escape death one way or another, and this is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think so?
Definitely. That, as Sayyid rightly mentioned, is that if man sees himself as a god, then obviously God must be eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the natural kind of result of it. If I am a god, then I must be eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm not a god.
Right.
All right? There's one.
That would be mortal.
Yeah. I'll be mortal, then what? There must be a way that I can create this faculty or this kind of equipment or system by which I can be eternal. I mean, it was a long period of time where people are looking at this cryogenic freezing. It's kind of died down now and no one looks at it anymore because they've kind of found out that, okay, it wasn't really working out. So now this is a new thing that's come up. What's the other movie mentioned? Chappie. That movie was African Robot.
Yeah.
You know, where the wife or they put the conscience of the intelligent person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, it's the thing of death. Whether it's possible or not is another issue altogether.
Yeah.
Because as we mentioned, is knowledge something that is material or not? If something immaterial, very unlikely, but if, for example, it gets changed into matter, that can become numbered, because that's what information is, right? Zero and ones at the end of the day.
Yeah.
If that can be changed into matter and plugged into a system and then downloaded or uploaded, okay, it just becomes another supercomputer.
Mm-hmm.
But does it make it human? Does it, like, for example, you saw at the end of the movie, that lady herself, his own wife, got scared of it. She said, "You are not you.
Yeah.
It's not the same."
Yeah, exactly.
And it's also showing the danger of what, if even that is possible, what could happen.
Yeah, thank you very much, Brother Yasser and Syed Abdullah, for your nice contribution to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We try to criticize the movie Transcendence, produced in 2014, directed by Wally Pfister, but we haven't finished it yet. Inshallah, in the upcoming episode, we'll do that. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Oh my God,
it's like my mind has been set free. I'm gonna need to expand. I need more power. Get him online.
This is no Will.
Shut it down.
It's him!
Where are you going?
Everywhere.
Your friends, they don't know the danger.
If she connects to the internet, the first thing it'll do is copy itself. And then there is no taking it down.
The real Will die.
Whatever it is, building an army out there.
What is this?
It's evolution.
This isn't evolution. It's an abomination.
What the hell's happening?
I'm able to fix them.
This has gone too far, Will. Stop it!
I don't understand. This is the future.
This is not our future.
Evelyn!
You're not here with me.
Food for Thought.
Salam and felicitations on the anniversary of the day on which Islam and Muslims were saved from a catastrophe in the year 3 AH at Uhud near Medina, thanks to the valor of Imam Ali, peace upon him, the cousin of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Here is what the Archangel Gabriel chanted while giving the Prophet the heavenly sword Dhulfaqar as a gift for Imam Ali, peace upon him, whose sword was broken in the encounter with the infidels, and he had picked up a rod to defend the Prophet from the attacks of the Arab infidels. No youth is as brave as Imam Ali, and no sword is as sharp as Dhulfaqar.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Led by Robert Mueller, the investigation was based on the hypothesis that the Russian armies of cyber warriors, trolls, and bots were behind Trump's victory. No details of the Israeli connection were ever revealed in the heavily redacted Mueller report.
For the highly paid professionals brought to work at FBI.
Nor was there any mention of an Israeli plot in the Senate Intelligence Committee report on collusion charges in the 2016 election. Yet longtime award-winning investigative journalist James Bamford has revealed in his new book, Spy Fail, Foreign Spies, Moles, Saboteurs, and the Collapse of America's Counterintelligence, that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu dispatched a secret Israeli agent to the United States in the spring of 2016 to help Donald Trump win the presidential election.
Next segment, we're continuing.
According to Bamford, the agent met with advisors to Trump and offered to share secret intelligence with the campaign against Hillary Clinton. In 2016, no issue was more important to Benjamin Netanyahu than Donald Trump winning the keys to the White House. Trump was key to everything Netanyahu was after, but there was no guarantee that he would win. Against such a backdrop, the Israeli Prime Minister dispatched a highly trusted aide armed with critical intelligence to covertly intervene in the U.S. election to help out Trump in the White House. Based on the FBI documents, the intelligence appears to have consisted of advanced knowledge of Russia's hacking of the Democratic National Committee, DNC, and Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, and it may have included confidential details from the stolen emails.
They left out a little bit from the report, and that's that there was collusion, but it was from Netanyahu and Israel to the Trump campaign, and it went on for months and months and involved providing the Trump campaign with secret access to the information that the Russians were picking up from Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC. In other words, the Israelis, they have a very, very sophisticated eavesdropping organization, Unit 8200. It's their equivalent of the NSA. And they were eavesdropping on the Russians and eavesdropping on WikiGate, and they were, and Julian Assange, and they were picking up all this information that the Russians were getting from the Clinton campaign and the DNC. And rather than giving it to the President of the United States, to Obama, which is what an ally is supposed to do, especially one that gets $4 billion a year, they instead were giving it to the Trump campaign, secretly giving it to the Trump campaign in order to get concessions from Trump when he became president.
Bamford's book is based in part on a series of text messages sent by the Israeli secret agent to Trump advisor Roger Stone. In one message from August 12, 2016, the agent wrote, "Roger, hello from Jerusalem. Any progress? He is going to be defeated unless we intervene. We have critical intel. The key is in your hands." Later, the agent wrote, "October surprise is coming."
The documents I got are from the FBI. There are the FBI affidavit about this. There's documents, numerous quotes from the secret agent, the Israeli secret agent sent by Netanyahu, talking about the PM, which the FBI agent indicates was the prime minister, and lays out a months-long plot, basically from May of 2016 till the fall of 2016, right up to the election.
In his article, published by The Nation, Jim Bamford wrote, "Although the affidavit did not specify any individual defendants, the numerous potential criminal charges laid out in the FBI documents spoke to the seriousness of the Israeli plot. They included violation of one foreign contributions ban, which prohibits foreigners from contributing money or something of value to federal, state, or local elections. Other charges included aiding and abetting conspiracy, wire fraud, and attempted conspiracy to commit wire fraud. Still another charge, unauthorized access to a protected computer, indicates Israel may have conducted illegal hacking operations."
That Israel is a Jewish state.
Based on the emails and text messages contained in the documents, the conspiracy began in late April 2016. When it was beginning to appear that Trump had a good chance of winning the Republican nomination. Although the spy's name is redacted, there are a lot of similarities with one of Trump's closest associates, Isaac Malho, a very shadowy character Netanyahu sends on secret missions to various places. A key reason Netanyahu wanted Trump to win was because Trump vowed to throw out the nuclear agreement with Iran that the Obama administration worked very hard on.
We are all done. Thank you very much.
I've studied this issue in great detail. I would say, actually, greater by far than anybody else. Believe me. Oh, believe me. And it's a bad deal. The biggest concern with the deal is not necessarily that Iran is going to violate it, because already, you know, as you know, It has. The bigger problem is that they can keep the terms and still get the bomb by simply running out the clock. Thank you.
Moreover, the Obama administration was putting a great deal of pressure on Netanyahu to work out an agreement with the Palestinians over Jerusalem al-Quds, which was going to be divided between the Palestinians and Israel. But the regime wanted the entire city to be Israeli. In the meantime, the Middle East Quartet, a group formed to mediate the Palestine-Israel peace process that included representatives from the United Nations, the European Union, the United States, and Russia, was seeking a solution to the issues surrounding the occupation, and it was about to release a report that was expected to be highly critical of the Israeli regime. When Trump came to office, as a token of appreciation for what Netanyahu did for him, he recognized Jerusalem al-Quds rather than Tel Aviv as the Israeli regime's capital.
Therefore, I have determined that it is time to officially recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. While previous presidents have made this a major campaign promise, they failed to deliver. Today, I am delivering. I've judged this course of action to be in the best interests of the United States of America and the pursuit of peace between Israel and the Palestinians. This is a long overdue step to advance the peace process and to work towards a lasting agreement. Israel is a sovereign nation with the right, like every other sovereign nation, to determine its own capital. Acknowledging this is a fact is a necessary condition for achieving peace.
Illegal settlements kept expanding nonstop during Trump's tenure in the White House. The United States, however, is not the only country the Netanyahu government has been involved with trying to interfere with the elections. An 8-month investigation by journalists from some of the most respected newspapers in the world has revealed the role of the Israeli regime in overthrowing, or rather throwing, elections in Latin America, Africa, and the United States. In fact, the Israeli regime has long been acting as the world's center for secret election interference.
Archimedes Group was one of those companies earlier on, before this investigation, that was identified as a company that Israel was using to, or at least it was a private company with ties to the Israeli intelligence, that was using a lot of fraud and other aspects to throw elections and various parts of the world, 30, I think there were 13 countries or something it was involved in. So this has been going on for a long time. Israel's been involved in enormous amounts of covert operations and intelligence operations in the U.S. just in the last 7 years.
Now, as the 2024 election is on the horizon, the Prime Minister of Israel is once again Benjamin Netanyahu, and Donald Trump is once again running for president, with the same players in the same positions, and the same media and the same Congress that turned a blind eye to anything questionable that Israel does. The question is, will history repeat itself?
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of the Almighty, Allah.
Dear brothers and sisters, Salam Alaikum. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. And I invite you to be with this episode of today's special under the title of Characteristics of Islamic Daily Life.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you until I took the first step. That's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
Today, Friday, that is 14th of the month of Shawwal, 1444 of the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Ordibehesht, 1402 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of May 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Now, at this time, we'll listen to chapter Al-Hashr, verse 18 from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighadin wattaqullaha innallaha khabirun bima ta'malun.
O you who have believed, fear Allah, and let every soul look to what it has put forth for tomorrow, and fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is acquainted with what you do.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Fear of Allah leads men to reflect upon his fate on the day of resurrection and purify his deeds. As mentioned before, reiteration of fear of Allah lays further emphasis, since the springhead of all righteous deeds is fear of Allah, or taqwa. The Arabic word qad originally denotes tomorrow, but it connotes the day of resurrection. Since taking into account the life of the world, we notice that the day of resurrection will arrive soon.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب
شكرا يا رب.
Dear brothers and sisters, we are speaking about characteristics of Islamic daily life on this episode of today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. As far as Abrahamic religions are concerned, it's of paramount importance to act as a kind and emphatic citizen. Islam in particular shows devotion towards being thoughtful in prayer and in action. Practicing this is everyday life is something that all religious believers endeavor to do, and this can sometimes be a work in progress. Devoting yourself to the teachings of the Quran can be achieved by talking to spiritual leaders, joining your local mosque, and importantly, involving yourself in community. Going to the mosque and reading the Quran should only serve to add to and improve your moral code. We can't all be perfect, but by applying an ideal set of morals to everyday life, we can learn to improve as people and practice Islam with a gentle and loyal devotion.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Today we are going to talk about the functionality of religion in our today's life. The challenge of modernity and religion is not a challenge that only Islam faces. Rather, all religions are facing it. But the experience of the Islamic Republic of Iran has been that we have presented a modern government based on religious concepts in 40 years. So we are not saying that there is no flaws, as we refer to, and there is no mistakes and problems in it. No one dares to claim such a thing during the because even during the ruling of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, the agents of that holy imam also violated some of the rights. Maybe it was some of the people's rights and some of the public rights were violated. So, and they were apparently against the Sharia. So it means that the Imam himself was infallible, but the agents of Imam were not infallible as Imam. And the body of his government were not infallible. Here in the Islamic Republic, we depicted and interpreted the source of power based on religious concepts in the political philosophy of the Islamic Republic of Iran. We have explained the role of the people based on the interpretation of the position of the people provided by religion. In actuality, we are seeing the functionality of the religion in modern life. So it goes without saying that this religion, even from this aspect and this dimension of it, is quite functional, and we can witness and confess its functionality in the best way possible. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
In this part of today's special, we'll look at prayer in daily life. Praying in daily life is one of the routines of successful Muslim. Salah is offered 5 times daily at the appointed times. The Holy Prophet advised his followers that offering the required prayers at their proper time is specially pleasing to Allah. He further instructed that the recitation of the Holy Quran after Fajr prayer every morning is also pleasing to him, even if only a few verses are read. Salah is the central and principal form of Islamic worship and must be observed with all its rituals and etiquettes, including a ritual ablution or wudu, before performing Salah. However, Islamic worship is not limited to Salah alone. For the need to communicate with one's Creator arises constantly during the day. This need is fulfilled by reciting prayers and remembrance of Allah or dhikr at any time. Therefore, as a Muslim, your day begins and ends with worship of Allah and glorify Him as the only master of everything in the heavens, the earth, and the whole universe.
Rabbuna Rabbul Qulubi wa huwa allamul ghuyub fi shuruqi wa fil ghurubi nuruhu yahdi al-asa Rabbuna Rabbul Qulubi wa huwa allamul ghuyub fi shuruqi wa fil ghurubi nuruhu yahdi al-asa ربنا الهادي الودود فضله ملء الوجود عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما رضا.
I have a special tradition from Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, about finding Muslim friends and avoid serving ties. He said, on the day of resurrection, Allah Almighty will proclaim Where are those who have mutual love for my glory's sake? Today I shall shelter them in my shade, where there is no shade but mine. Saying Assalamu alaikum, that means peace be upon you, to people you see on campus or at the grocery store is a real blessing in Islam. It immediately lets people know you are Muslim and try usually will be happy to return the greeting and hopefully share a few words with you. Doors of friendship will be opened and you will meet lots of people. Try and spend some time with Muslims when you can. It's beneficial to remind yourself that you are not the only Muslim on the planet, and you share your religion with almost 2 billion people around the globe.
Look at the examples of our Imams, all the way from Amir al-Mu'mineen to Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Zain al-Abidin, all the way to Imam Rizal alayhi salam and the Imams who came after him. You will see that in all different situations, they maintain sabr. And this is what we have to realize, that patience is power and strength, whereas to be impatient is weakness. Lack of patience and sabr is actually a sign of weakness and zu'f, not the other way around. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand this hadith based on wisdom from Imam Raza alayhi salam, and to acquire these three qualities, one from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another from Nabi, and the third one from the Wali, so that our iman can be complete and our iman can be perfect. Alhamdulillah, you know, we have this tradition and custom in our community. And it's a very good thing, worthwhile, you know, tradition, that whenever we would like to do our good things, you know, happy events, we try to link it with the happy occasions from the life of our Aimmah Ahlul Bayt. Imam Raza alayhi salam talks about three qualities. The first one that we have to acquire from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Kitmanu Sir, to conceal the secrets. This is important when we talk about social relationships. But if you look at it from the perspective of the husband-wife relationship in marriage, this becomes even more important, that they basically have to conceal the weaknesses of one another. Nobody knows one another except in the context of that marriage relationship. They know the character of, because they live together. And that is where, because they come to know one another in a complete manner, in all different settings, they will know the good as the bad. And that is where the issue of Kitman al-Sir comes in. Don't go and expose the weakness of your spouse to others, even if they happen to be your parents.
Brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we'll continue this interesting topic on the next episode. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And
and they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.